Radio.
During my first year in the seminary, I visited a parish in the Archdiocese of Sydney and was asked to speak on why I wanted to be a priest. On the way out, one lady came up to me and said that I hope you write down what you said today so that when difficult times come, you will be able to remind yourself of the joy and the love that you have for the Catholic Church and for the priesthood. This week marks the first week that I've ever felt the need to go back and read what I wrote several years ago. After following the media coverage intensely, often late into the night, I was left absolutely heartbroken, as I know many of you would be too, and sick to the stomach to contemplate how a priest, a custodian of all that is most sacred, a minister who is entrusted with the care of the most vulnerable, could act so contrarily to his vocation by carrying out the most heinous of crimes as if it was a pure work of evil. Now, it's not my place to judge the complexities of the 70s or the 80s, or underestimate the difficulty that it is to resolve such awful situations. But no one can hide the fact that the Church's response at times was pathetically inadequate. And what could cause more pain to a victim than to discover that the very institution that they looked to for solace, for comfort and love, turned them away and left them on their own? Now, regardless of whether the media is right or wrong, whether the media has really exaggerated the situation for what it is, nevertheless, they have truly capitalized on this opportune moment to show the Church at its very worst. And I personally this week have felt the effects of such bad publicity. You all know that I proudly wear my clerical collar. I wear it proudly because I'm proud to be a priest. I'm proud of what I stand for as a devout Catholic. And I know that by wearing this collar, I have to be prepared to face hatred and criticism. But on the way to the hospital this week, I have never been called such horrific names, or indeed jeered up with such calumny and detraction as I had this week. And I can't repeat what the words were, as they're prolifically unrepeatable, at least in this setting. And as I continued to walk to that hospital, I began to think to myself, why on earth am I doing this? Why on earth did I turn away that law degree? Why on earth did I turn away the opportune moment for a loved one and a family? In other words, I began to have a selfish thought about how easy it would be just to take off the collar and pretend like I had nothing to do with this. However, my perception changed in about the space of an hour. I was called to visit three people in the space of 1 hour. The first call was to pray over a 21-year-old boy who was brain damaged and left fighting for his life after a motorbike accident. And I was overwhelmed by the reception of his mother, who immediately endeared herself to this stranger who was a priest and asked for comfort and consolation at this most difficult of times. The second call was to another boy of 21 years old who was ironically in the next bed to that first call. This young man at 21 had stabbed himself in the neck and committed suicide. And I was overwhelmed once more by the loving reception of his mother, who ran over and embraced me as a priest and told me how much comfort the priesthood has given to her in this difficult time. The third and final call was for one of our own parishioners, Patricia Wiles, a woman that I'd spent much time with over the last few months, and I preached about her example. She's a woman who had multiple sclerosis, could only move her hand very slightly, paralyzed from the neck down. And every time I went into her presence, I would marvel at her holiness. And she'd say, "Father, what an awesome gift you have as a priest. What an awesome responsibility. And I love you. I love you for who you are." and listening to that woman say how her suffering was the greatest blessing in her life. Only the power of Catholicism could give someone that courage. Only the power of the Catholic faith could help someone turn suffering, that incredible suffering, into joy. And I was left in tears as I anointed this woman, as I was reminded of just how selfish I was to think that I would turn my back on the institution that I love, turn my back on the faith that so many people adhere to with an undivided heart. Patricia reminded me that I wanted to be a saint. Now, I love the Catholic Church not for any bishop or priest or layperson, but because I love Christ. That is the beauty and the timeless genius of the Catholic Church. It is not her members, it is not her frailty, but the beauty and timeless relevance of her teachings. And I became a priest for no other reason than a call to serve and to spread that message so that everyone would have the same intellectual and spiritual appreciation for the faith that I love so much. In other words, the work of saving souls never ceases in the most difficult of times. So how do we as Catholics make sense of this horrific scenario? Well, I'm not here today to give a crafted piece of rhetoric as to why or what or how these things have taken place. I have my theories, and they're only theories, but they're for another time. Regardless of whether the media has exaggerated or whether the media gives undue preoccupation to the Catholic Church, regardless of whether they are justified with their obsession with priestly celibacy, one priest is one too many, and one bishop turning their head is one too many, and the effects are devastating. And those effects are felt across society in every walk and work of life. But because of what we represent as priests and a church, we deserve every bit of media attention that we get. And our priority has to be justice for those victims, and we pray that that will be achieved. But what I do say today is that in this time of distress, where the sun appears to be darkened, and the stars appear as if they are falling from the powers of heaven, and our world has been shaken, we can get so easily distracted. We can so easily take our eyes off Christ and fix our eyes instead on the fragility of human nature, on the church that is made up of sinners. But the best way that we entail that we can help the victims is to ensure that we become saints. The media tried to distract us with the inviolability of confession, and I promise you now that as a priest I will never break that seal, because no one on this earth has the right to legislate divine law, and I am happy to go to prison to defend the inviolability of the sacrament. But remind ourselves that we are Catholics for Christ, that the Catholic Church is his church, and that he promised us that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And it is to his teachings and to his teachings alone that we must be faithful. God is ultimately in control, and I believe that he can make good, in fact he will make good, of this horrific situation. He will raise up new saints in this new evangelization. But that task is not left to the minority. Each of us today must respond to this dark time with nothing less than deeper faith, deeper prayer, and a deeper desire to be holy, without exception. This is our time. As Father Robert Barron said, it's a good time because it's a dark time. It's a time of challenge. Very easily to take off my collar and throw it to one side, but I won't. Instead, I will wear it proudly for the majority of priests who have served faithfully, who have prayed relentlessly, and have loved their people and their God even to the point of martyrdom. And as I was walking through the city, one young man the other day shouted out, "Thank you, Father, for being proud of who you are and not hiding your very identity." And that is the mission of all of us, to spread the gospel even in these dire times. So my brothers and sisters, certainly there will be challenging days ahead for the church, most especially for the new generation of priests. But there is hope. These men are serious about holiness, they are serious about their priestly identity, and they are serious about getting things right. But we need your support. More than ever, we need you to stand up for the Catholic genius, with intellectual vigour, with moral courage, clothed in holiness, so that together we will be part of the solution in Christ Jesus and not part of the problem.
Radio.org.au